It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Reporters from three Wisconsin news outlets are teaming up to investigate police accountability here in the state.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, WTMJ, and Wisconsin Watch are working together to uncover the Milwaukee County District Attorney's list of police officers it views as unreliable witnesses in court cases.
It's known as a Brady list. Prosecutors across the state have their own list to track which officers they shouldn't rely on for testimony because of past misconduct.
We're learning more about how these lists work and how these Wisconsin reporters are investigating them.
Ashley Luthern is the deputy investigations editor at the Journal Sentinel and an investigative reporter focused on public safety, crime, and policing. Ashley, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
And Rachel Moran is an associate professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Law, where she researches Brady lists and police accountability. Rachel, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Ashley, I gave a very brief overview, but can you tell us a little more about what these so-called Brady lists are?
Absolutely. The Brady list is a list of law enforcement officials who have been found to have lied or broken the law or acted in a way that erodes their credibility or integrity to be a witness. As you mentioned, it's it comes from a U.S. Supreme Court case, Brady versus Maryland. And that ruled that very generally that prosecutors can't withhold material that might help the defense at trial or exculpatory evidence. And that includes any indication that an essential witness, such as a police officer, might have credibility issues.
Rachel, can you talk a little more about why these lists exist? What was the reasoning behind that decision and how it's been implemented that Ashley was just talking about?
Yeah, so the reason these lists exist is that the Supreme Court has said, like Ashley said, in a case called Brady versus Maryland, and also in a later case called Kyles versus Whitley, that prosecutors are responsible not just for giving information to defense, but also for keeping track of the information. And the court has said that includes information within the possession of police departments or other people involved in the case. And so the prosecutors have a legal obligation to keep track of and to give defendants information that might help the defendant's case by attacking the credibility of the witness.
Rachel, how consistent are these lists? Are the record keeping on these lists from one state to another, one county to another?
Horribly inconsistent. There's really very little law other than what we just talked about telling prosecutors exactly what information they need to keep track of or exactly how they must keep track of it. And so we find just a ton of disparity across the state and even within states. Different counties operate differently. Some prosecutors don't have these lists at all, and it's unclear to me how they would keep up with their legal obligations, but they just don't keep track.
Ashley, what do you see when you look around Wisconsin as far as what Rachel was just talking about, the consistency or lack of same on these Brady lists?
What Rachel said is exactly what we are seeing. Our colleagues at Wisconsin Watch earlier this year had filed records requests with prosecutors in every county in the state. 17 denied the request or said they didn't keep track, and another 23 said they had no names on file. Earlier this year, Milwaukee County DA's office released a partial list, which included officers who had been criminally charged or convicted of a crime. However, when WTMJ4, as well as us at the Journal Sentinel and Wisconsin Watch, as we pushed and asked for the full list, they ultimately released it with the note, "We cannot, you know, guarantee the accuracy of this." And that gets to some of the inconsistency we were just talking about. Some of these names on this list have a person's name, and then it just says integrity violation. It doesn't tell us exactly what happened, what consequences that person faced, or if they're even still employed in that same department or another law enforcement agency.
And Ashley, that takes us to this current effort, now this joint effort with the Journal Sentinel and the two other organizations. What are you trying to accomplish now with this information, especially in Milwaukee County?
At a very basic level, we're trying to first verify the accuracy of the list, as I was just discussing. That's involving all of us from our partner organizations divvying up the work, filing additional public records requests to figure out what exactly landed people on this list and if they are still employed in law enforcement, as well as trying to discern how local police agencies are communicating with the prosecutors and the DA's office and what policies they have about proactively sharing information about officers who have had integrity violations or other concerns that would put their credibility in question.
We're talking about prosecutors' lists of police officers who they question their ability to testify successfully in court. These are called sometimes Brady lists or do not call lists. Our guests are Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative reporter Ashley Lutheran and University of St. Thomas law professor Rachel Moran. Rachel, I imagine there's a couple different audiences that might have an interest in these lists. First and foremost, their intended audience, defense attorneys and the people they represent. How forthcoming across the country are prosecutors with these lists when these lists actually exist in the first place?
There's a ton of variety there, too. And I want to be clear, I do think prosecutors are partly responsible for this. I would call it a problem, the lack of consistency. But so are judges, so are lawyers generally, for politicians, for not creating clearer guidelines. So we see just a ton of inconsistency in terms of not just what prosecutors collect, but whether they proactively give the information to defense attorneys. In some states, that's because there are different laws governing whether this information is publicly accessible. So some states say, put really just a tight hold on information about officer misconduct and say it's very hard to give access to the public. Some states say these are public servants, people should have the information, and these are open records. But those differences in laws create a lot of variety in terms of how readily prosecutors disclose the information.
And Rachel, I imagine one argument against making these publicly available is this might be an internal misconduct review or something like that. An officer might not have been charged with a crime, much less prosecuted. Is that one of the arguments that's saying, hey, this is not necessarily information the public has a right to know?
Yeah, that is one of the arguments. And I think that there's a middle ground here in the context of criminal cases where an officer is involved, which is to say, even if the public doesn't have a right to know, certainly the defense attorneys should have ready access to this information. But unfortunately, the way the laws work or the way prosecutors have interpreted them, prosecutors sometimes say, well, we don't think we can even disclose this to the defense attorneys.
Ashley, coming back to this project you're part of now, what is your goal? What information are you hoping to get, and how much are you looking to share publicly?
Our goal is to ultimately publish a database that people can publicly look at this information. We take our job of confirming the information on the list and providing as much context as possible very seriously. There are some other states and some partners on this very project who have done work in other states, reporting in other states that have led to more public disclosures of officers on these so-called Brady lists. For example, in Maricopa County, one of the reporters on this project who works for Scripps, which owns WTMJ Channel 4, his work led to Maricopa County routinely publishing updated lists of officers who are on the Brady list, I think every 2 weeks. And so our goal ultimately is to verify this information, provide a level of accountability and transparency so that the public can see this.
Ashley, what are some of the obstacles, maybe lack of transparency in certain places that's standing between you now at the outset of this project and what you just described as the final product?
I think it's a lot, as I mentioned before, going to a lot of different places and agencies for information, making sure that we are being fair as well. In other states, it has come out as reporters have examined these lists. There have certainly been instances of officers placed on the list when reporters got the underlying information. It did not make sense as to why they were on that list. So we are interested in that as well. And mainly it's an information issue. And frankly, there's also a question of access for knowing who is still in law enforcement. And that kind of gets into a separate issue, but that is something that will be difficult to ascertain and track.
Well, Rachel, that is something that people might be thinking. So wait a minute, we've got some police officers on the job who, for whatever reason, They wouldn't, their testimony wouldn't hold up in court. If people brought up their past behavior, it might be their testimony might be disqualified or at least doubted by jurors. Is there a deeper problem here if there's this roster of whatever percentage of the police force that won't hold up in court?
Yeah, thanks for asking, because that really does get to the heart of the issue. If we have officers who are lacking in credibility, you know, I think a legitimate question is why are they still on the force, or at least why are they in positions where they're involved in criminal cases? So I think this whole Brady list discussion speaks to a bigger issue in police accountability.
Ashley, what is the timeline on this investigation until we might see this public database of officers who might be on these lists?
That is something we are still working through. I can tell you that the media partners in this project are working as efficiently as we can. But as I'm sure you know, at WPR, it takes time to get records requests back and that sort of thing. So I think optimistically, we are hoping for very early next year. You'll see ongoing coverage. We will be highlighting different cases as we get records back on specific individuals. I know WTMJ Channel 4 has aired already one or two stories related to this. We'll have more coming from the Journal Sentinel and Wisconsin Watch as well.
We'll leave it there. Ashley, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Rachel, thanks for being with us.
For sure. Thanks for featuring this.
We've been talking to Rachel Moran, associate professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Law, and Ashley Lutheran, reporter and deputy investigations editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ashley is part of a multi-team media project looking at prosecutors' lists of police officers who should not be used as court witnesses and trying to share more about an investigation into that list in Milwaukee County.